Yes, sir. Go ahead. God's got this. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Okay. Get your Bibles out. Turn to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. We're getting back into Revelation. Of course, next week is the first week of the month, so we'll do a back to basics next week, and then we'll go right back into Revelation. I like the way we're doing it. We're not just doing it all back to back to back, and that way it gives us a chance to not be so into just Revelation, because I've noticed over the years of pastoring, and I hear people say all the time, just go straight through. Well, I hear that, but honestly, every time. After about the fifth week or the sixth week, we start losing people because people get burnt out. Because Revelation is so terrible, people get burnt out with it. And so this way it gives a chance to have something uplifting in between, and we can go back. I'm not neglecting to preach Revelation, but we got to get some other stuff in there too to make us feel a little better, okay? Get out your Bible. Revelation chapter 4, stand for the reading of the Word. This is where we left off. Week four last. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, "Come up hither, and I will show you these things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight, like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices. And there were seven lamps of the fires burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal in the midst of the throne. And round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind." They had to be mothers. Not the beast part, but that didn't sound good, did it? I done said it now. I didn't mean because of the beast part. I meant because the eyes were in front and back. That's all I was talking about. So don't anybody get upset because I said, I'm just going to put down the shovel. That's right. Somebody just told me to put the shovel down. Just back away while you still can. I'm going to quit while I'm behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face like a man, and the fourth beast like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Stretch forth your hands this way. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your ultimate, awesome mercy. I thank you, God, that we don't have to walk this place by ourselves, that we've always got you with us, that you're always there to take care of us, Lord, that you see us, you know us, you understand us better than we understand ourselves. Lord, there's so many times where we may even feel like we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death and we're walking by ourselves, but you don't have to worry about that because you said that you would always be with us, even in that valley. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch, to anoint, Have your will in your way in the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. You can be seated. This passage of scripture is so full of symbols that I really hated to just do it all in one Sunday because, number one, you know me, I like to get a little more details when I get going. And number two is it's just so rich. Even without details, we really need to be able to grasp and pull in all of Revelation. So we're just going to take our time, and that's why we're doing this other stuff too along the way, like per Sunday, back to basics, because it gives us a chance just to take our time. But I did want to tell you, you know, not long ago I asked DC to give me the phone book. And we were sitting there talking. I said, give me the phone book. And he laughed at me and called me a dinosaur. Y'all see, we still get some phone books in the mail. Y'all still get phone books? Yeah, we still get phone books. So I said, DC, can you give me the phone book? He laughed at me and called me a dinosaur. And he lent me his iPhone. Well, so the spider was dead and the iPhone was broken and DC was furious. I'll explain it if I need to. Okay. I wanted a phone book to kill the spider. And he didn't give me a phone book. He gave me his iPhone, so I killed the spider with his iPhone. That's even, I got even less laughter. I'm just going to be quiet. All right, here we go. Here, you know, Johnny Carson, he was so funny because some of his jokes were so dry, it was just funny watching him try to recoup from it. And me, another problem is I got the dry part, but I don't have the ability he has to recoup from it. So here we go. Up till now, we've been studying Revelation. Up to now, here's what we've been seeing. Chapter 1, we saw the vision of the glorified Christ. He said, I want you to write down things that were, which are, and which are to come. I want you to write those down. And so there's the glorified Christ. Then 2 and 3, we saw the vision of the 7 churches. And that was a very powerful, powerful study because of 7 churches was 7 actual geographic churches. It was also 7 different attitudes or personalities of churches. It was 7 different church ages. And honestly, 7 different kinds of Christian. And I promise you that if you looked at it with an open mind and let the Holy Spirit minister to you, you could find yourself, hopefully just a little bit, not a bunch, in every one of the churches. Okay? So now, that way we can make ourselves, we can grow. It's all for growing. It's not for being beat down, but it's for growing. Then, chapter 4, verses 1, we talked about the rapture of the church. So now, we're gonna talk about, of course, so now we're gonna get our first glimpse of heaven from the other side of the rapture. You hear, and don't even hear it preached much anymore. At least I don't. I'm not saying it's not being preached. I have to be careful. Be careful when you say nobody's talking about it anymore, or everybody's talking about it. Because a lot of times somebody says, well, everybody's talking about it, and you find out one person talked to them. Everybody's talking about this, Pastor, and you find out one person. Or somebody, nobody's preaching this, and you find it being preached everywhere. So just be careful. And remember this too, in this day where there's so many mixed opinions, you have to listen to understand, not listen to respond. Okay? There's too many people out there just listening to respond. They want you to give them 5 seconds so they can not just tell you their opinion. They want to school you. And that's not what this is about. I don't need you to school me. Let me listen and let me understand why you feel the way you feel. And then together, we may together, if we both listen and understand, we may come together with a better understanding of the whole thing. So if you catch me, and I give you permission, if you catch me listening to respond, stop me. You will not make me mad. You will actually make me glad because I will go, what's I doing that? I am so sorry. Yeah, I do it with my wife. My wife gets talking and sometimes I get abrupt and she goes, I'm not through talking. I go, I'm sorry. Because I'm trying not to do that. I'm trying to wait and listen. Sometimes people just wait for you to take a breath and before you can even take the breath, they're poof. Listen. Try to listen to understand, especially with all this crazy mess going on. Okay? That'll make things a whole lot better. So here we go. Now we're talking about the other side of the rapture. I'm gonna go back to Revelation, and we just read, but I'm only gonna read four verses. Just four. And next week we'll finish up. Hopefully we'll finish up on others. There's seven things that are very powerful in the fourth chapter. Okay? And so we're gonna talk about some of them today. So here it is. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard, as it were, a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter, the rapture, taking him up. And immediately I was in the spirit. Our bodies are not going to be able to get to heaven like this. Our bodies have to be transformed. And so this word spirit here means literally spiritized. Okay? So it means that it's not, his whole body was just spiritized. He was taken, spiritized, and brought to heaven. All right? And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. Then there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 elders, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now you got to understand something. In this time, well, after the rapture, that's when you get into heaven, that's when the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema judgment, is going to take place. Not the white throne of judgment. You hear me say it all the time. The white throne of judgment are for sinners. The Bema judgment is where you decide who come in first, who come in second, who come in third. You get your rewards. And so the thrones you get there are going to be, I mean, not thrones, but the crowns are going to be a little bit different. It's not going to be these crowns that look like something that a king will wear this way, but it's going to be the wreath that goes around your head. And that's what they played for in the Olympic Games. But in Olympic Games back then, they would fade away, but the ones we're going to get in heaven will never fade away. So here we go. So now we're going to talk. Again, we're going to talk about behold the throne. That is very powerful, what I'm getting ready to tell you. So I want you, if you're taking notes, please take notes. And again, if you want outlines of anything, please let me know. I'll get you outlines. This God wants us to know what we're talking about, or at least have some idea what we're talking about, okay? So it's very important, especially right now. People are always asking about Revelation now. People ask me all the time about Revelation. People I don't even know. I've even had people come to me, didn't even know I was a pastor, and start talking about Revelation. Then if I'm a pastor, go, oh, how about you tell me then? Okay, so I'm telling you, people are very interested now. Even the unbelievers are starting to believe. So let's go ahead and go. I'm going to take my time. The central object of heaven. I didn't say the central person of heaven. Who's the central person of heaven? Oh, yeah, Jesus. He's the central person. But what's the central object in heaven? The central object in heaven is the throne of God. And I'm going to explain that. You know that in just these first six verses of chapter 4, the throne is mentioned 8 times. In the entire chapter, the throne is mentioned 12 times. Chapter 4, the throne is mentioned. If you go to chapter 5 and add it 6, in just the first glimpse of heaven, the throne is mentioned 18 times. Wow. That is the central object of heaven. Matter of fact, the throne actually is a fixed point. You know what a fixed point is? A fixed point is something that does not change. It's like the North Star. It does not change. The throne of God does not change. It will never change because God is in control, will always be in control, always have and always will be in control. The throne room is the most powerful place in the universe. Okay? So it's an immovable point of reference. Everything else in heaven is located in relationship to the throne. Wow. So now he goes on. Let's go a little bit further here. Let's read this. Let me get over here where I can see it. Praise God. It says, and immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, set, not S-I-T-S-E-T, sat in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight, likened to an emerald. Revelation 4, 2 and 3. So now let's go ahead and dig in a little bit to this one now. Look, seated upon the throne was the triune God. Very powerful, powerful scene. He just saw the seven churches. He saw the destruction of what was going on with the seven churches, and he hadn't even began to see what's going to happen when the seals begin to get open. But he's in heaven, and before he sees that destruction, the very first thing he sees is the glory of God. I've seen some very glorious things in my life, and I've seen some times where I just felt the presence of God so strong, I just wanted to bask in His presence, didn't want to leave. But can you imagine seeing God on His throne? Wow. So one way, now remember, these guys didn't have, like we've got television, and we've got comic books, and we've got computer graphics. They didn't have all that. So he had to describe things in what was common to him. Remember when the prophet starts talking about scorpions, when in the last day scorpion with stingers in their tails, talking about helicopters, and talking about chariots jumping from mountaintop to mountaintops, talking about jets. So, and talking about the sky rolling up like a scroll, a nuclear explosion, all this stuff going on. Because they did not know this stuff. They had never seen it. We have. So one way to describe the beauty of what he saw was, is he thought about precious stones. And it was jasper and sardis. I had one kid one time say sardines. And I said, no, not sardines. He said, it must really stink in heaven. I said, no, it don't. It's not sardines. It's sardis. Okay? So now watch this now. There's a special reason why he saw jasper and sardis. If you look at the great high priest, the high priest wore a breastplate. And on that breastplate, it had these precious stones. And on these precious stones, sardis and jasper were there. They were the first and the last stones on the high priest's breastplate. Listen again. They were the first and the last stones on the high priest's breastplate. Anybody see where I'm going? You see, it's a picture of the one, the great high priest, who says, I am the first and the last. Wow, that's powerful. And so here he is, he's watching this, and as he's seeing this, he's just amazed, because now he's watching, he's seeing Alpha and Omega in a whole different way than he'd ever seen them before. So now watch this. Let's go a little bit further. Talking about the throne. In the throne, a throne itself actually speaks of sovereignty. And it speaks of authority. But a throne set, remember I didn't say S-I-T-S-E-T. A throne set means stability, firmness, and durability. Right now, in all this crazy mess we got going on with the gas, and oh man, and there's people fighting at the gas stations trying to get gas, and other people driving up with trucks and trying to fill up all these jugs, you know. And I think I might have told y'all, I pulled up beside one woman and she had all these jugs, and she was filling up the jugs, and it was very limited gas supply. The gas pumps even started getting very, very slow because it was getting so low, and she was just filling up everything. And I had to set on my lips. I walked over, and right time I ready to say it, common sense kicked in, and I shut up. I started to ask her, I bet you know where all the toilet paper went, don't you? Stability, firmness, durability. We know that no matter how crazy this world gets, God's throne is not being budged. This hadn't budged His throne. Do you think God's up in heaven saying, get us some gas for the chariots of fire? You think God's in heaven hunting, find us some toilet paper? God is not, soft. God is a hard rock that we can depend on and trust in. He's durable. He can handle whatever's being thrown at us. God is still in control no matter what. Matter of fact, now is the time. not to hoard. Now is the time for us to show the world what it's like to be generous. To show them what it's like to see godly people in the middle of all this crazy mess. Show them what it's like for a person to be trying to live out the life of Christ in their life. Amen? So here we go. Let's go a little bit further here. There was a rainbow. Now I, y'all don't have to feel sorry for me or Benny. But me and Benny are colorblind. He's one way and I'm the other. There's three kinds of colorblindness, and I got one, he's got the other, and sometimes it flips sometimes, I'm not sure. We were riding down the road one day going to PCDC, and they said, "What color is that?" And Benny said one thing, I said another, and I said, look back, and somebody said, "You can listen to those guys." All right. But look, when I see a rainbow, you know what I see? Honestly. When I see a rainbow, here's what I see. I see a shiny bow in the sky. And every now and then I see a dark and shiny bow in the sky. That's it. So I thought about this thing and I said, you know what? I can't wait to get to heaven, because when I get to heaven, I won't be colorblind anymore. And man, oh man, what is this rainbow going to look like around the throne of God? So here we go. Surrounding the throne is a rainbow. Why did God have a rainbow at his throne? What's going on? Watch this. It signals to us that the storm has ended. Wow. Isn't that awesome? We don't have to worry about it anymore. Once we get to heaven, we're going to be fine. I think about Bethany. I think about Maddie. I think about a lot of people. I think about brother and sister Bonner, sister Kathleen. I think about all these people that went on. And I'm thinking, you know what? They're seeing that rainbow right now. For them, the storm has ended. Isn't it awesome? Wow, it's awesome. Amen. It reminds us also that God will judge the earth in line with his covenants and promises. One more thing about the rainbow, and I'm going to talk about the elders. Now, the elders, I got to really put on the brakes for the elders here. Again, surrounding the throne, the rainbow, emerald green. The rainbow is a symbol of God's mercy. In what book? Genesis. Amen. Look, it's a symbol of God's mercy in Genesis. While judgment is taking place on the earth, the church is going to be safe in heaven. Wow. So now watch this. Let's get this here about the 420 elders. And then we're going to close down for today. We're not going any further. Sitting around the throne was 420 elders. I want you to notice, said elders, not angels, but the redeemed. I was in Walmart. In the oil section. I was getting some oil for my car. And another guy came up behind me and he had a shirt. I suppose it was dedicated to his granddaddy, because he had his granddaddy's name, and he said the year that he died, which had been just recently, and said he's now an angel. And I wanted to go to him so bad. I didn't. I really didn't. I wanted to go to him and say, you know what, that shirt isn't correct. But I might have hurt his feelings, so I just left it alone. When Bethany died, I had the most people tell me God needed another angel. God did not need another angel. Bethany is being ministered to by the angels. She was an angel on earth, a messenger of God. And even though she's gone, she's still a messenger of God, because of stuff like this all the time. She's ministering to people. But in heaven, she's not an angel. In heaven, she is an individual, redeemed, and God has his angels ministering to her. All of our loved ones that's gone on before us, the redeemed, the angels are ministering to them. Don't let anybody tell you they're angels. They're not angels. They're not on a cloud plucking a harp. They're the redeemed of God. And they're really, really knowing what it's like to see the stuff we're talking about right now. So watch. Get ready. Crazy. It says 24. 1-20-24. Why 24? Well, 24 is the number of completion. And it's simple. I read behind a lot of theologians on this scripture. Some theologians say there's the 12 different patriarchs in the Old Testament and 12 apostles in the New Testament. The Bible did say that the foundations were going to be the names of the apostles. So I do know that it's possible that it's the 12 apostles. But then there's the 12 tribes of Israel. So there's so much stuff going on. So the Bible's not clear on what these 24 are, but I do believe with all my heart it'd be safe to say that whatever it is, because God's number is 12 with this, that there's 12 from the Old Testament, 12 from the New Testament, gives us 24, and it's a completion. Now watch this. Get ready. It said seats or thrones. That word seat there is for thrones. That word seats, sitting around them, they were on thrones. We're going to reign with him. You know, the Bible says if you suffer with him, you're going to reign with him. Amen? If we suffer with him, we will reign with him. You may be going through something down here now, but eventually you're going to reign with Jesus Christ. So the seats. And then, I love this, they were sitting. Sitting signifies rest. You know, in the temple, look at all of the furniture in the Old Testament temple and tabernacle. When you see all the things that are there, you never see chairs. Ever do you see chairs in the temple. Why? Because the priests, once they went in to minister, could never sit down. They were always so busy doing what they did. They were busy offering sacrifices. They could never sit down. And because they could never sit down, the Bible says once Jesus went up into heaven, the first thing it said he did was he sat down. Amen? He sat down. So now, when we get to heaven, you might not can sit down now, but days coming when our labors are going to be over and we're going to be sitting. Now, let's go a little bit further. Isn't this good stuff? All right, ready? Sitting around the throne again, we're talking about 24 elders. They're clothed in white raiment. Why are they clothed in white raiment? Because they're forgiven. Sin can no longer stain them. You know, wouldn't it be nice? Really, can you imagine a day? One day. Just one day. Matter of fact, has anybody had one day in the last week that you had absolutely no problems? No takers? All right, anybody had in the last month had one day you had no problems? Okay, the last year? No takers? The last 10 years? Okay. Last couple of hours. Nobody's raising their hands. Why? Because the pressure of this world is on us. And we constantly feel the pressure on us. But can you imagine a day when we don't feel that pressure anymore? Can you imagine a day when you're not feeling those problems anymore? Can you imagine a day where you don't have to worry about if you're going to make enough money or if you're going to be able to be good enough for something or whatever it is? Can you imagine a day when none of that's even going to bother you anymore because you're going to have a glorified body and whatever you need is going to be taken care of? Wow. So here they are, clothed in white raiment, they're forgiven, and they have crowns of gold. Now, let me talk about this crowns of gold. These crowns of gold are called Stephanus, or Stephanuses. Okay, what a Stephanus was that oak clover. I mean, the oak, it's not oak clover, but that oak wreath that went around their head. And that oak wreath, honestly, you would win that. You'd work yourself to death. You would train for months. You would go to the Olympics. You would win whatever it was, gold, silver, or bronze. And you would get that Stephanus, and they would put it on you. And on the way out of the Colosseum, leaves would start falling off of it. Wow. But here, the gold. The victor's crown. So because of the Stephanus is given, because you have run the race, or when you have competed in a way that you made it, and you completed the race, and you scored in this thing, you placed in this race, then this Stephanus, obviously, they've already been to the judgment seat of Christ. And so they got the Stephanuses. So here's the crowns of gold, the victor's crown. And once they get the victor's crown, I'm going to just jump ahead to verse 10. After they win the victor's crown, they don't take it and start highlighting it and say, my crown looks better than your crown, or I got more leaves than you got, or blah, 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 blah. It says they throw them at his feet. Wow. Cast. Cast is a strong word. Didn't say they laid them. That's where casting crowns got their name from, right here. They cast down that crown. Meaning that, look, that lets you know that that crown didn't mean as much to them as being in heaven did. And that crown didn't mean as much to them as just being in the presence of Almighty God. But not only that, but when they threw it at his feet, meant that they thanked God for giving them the victory. 1 Corinthians 15. Y'all turn with me. 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to read right much of this because the more I look at it, the more I keep backing up. Let's start with verse 50. The Bible says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. This is talking about the rapture. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. But as incorruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal put on immortality. So when the corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It says he gives us the victory. That word give means literally to take something that belongs to the giver of much value, and he lays it in the hand of somebody, this great gift of value. He lays it in their hand as a gift. Wow. He gives us the victory. And that word victory is where we get, is vicos, is where we get the word, also nikos, which is where we get the word Nike, which means an overwhelming, overwhelming, utterly anguishing victory over the enemy. We don't do this because of who we are. We do this because of who he is. Powerful. Powerful, powerful. We're getting ready to close. Brandon, can you come up here and get ready to strum with something, bro? Here's my question. We're going to finish this up next week, this chapter. This is some awesome, awesome stuff. Can you imagine what John's seeing right now? I mean, we've seen so much stuff, you know, we got all these movies out now with all this, you know, Superman, and we got the Avengers, and we got all this stuff, and it's all this fancy stuff, and we see all this amazing stuff because of computer-generated graphics and because of other stuff. So John had not seen anything like this. And John's standing in the presence of Almighty God with this throne. And the 24 elders around it with gold crowns. And he sees them cast them at his feet. Wow. Makes what you're going through worth it, don't it? Makes all the problems that you may be having now, gives you a whole different perspective on it. When you think about it, you, when you Think about what we're getting ready to see. Look, watch this. What a sight to behold. And it's going to be soon. Sooner than you ever could imagine, it's going to happen. And if you want to be a part of it, you got to be surrendered. I'm going to give you a little secret that would help a lot of people handle their problems. Ready? Learn to give up control. The more control a person wants to grasp, the more miserable their life is. Control is an illusion. Mario Andretti says, if you got everything under control, you're going too slow. Control, an illusion. When I do counseling, a lot of times I talk to people and say, look, can you just give up a little control? Let God handle it. If you can give up some control and let God handle it, you'd be in a whole lot better position than you are now, because you don't have all the answers. You don't have all the power. He has the answers and he has the power. He knows what needs to be done. You don't. So if you're not surrendering, your life is miserable. Knows your life miserable because you don't surrender down here. When that rapture trumpet sounds, there's a good possibility that you're going to be part of that Laodicean crowd. So, it's going to happen soon, but you got to be surrendered. And if you're not surrendered, you're going to be sorry. Everybody stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. So John sees the rainbow meaning the battle's over, the victory's won, the storm's gone. So if he sees that in heaven, that means that we still have them down here. He sees the crowns not down here, but he sees them up there, meaning that we still got things we got to do. We still got races we got to run. And again, if we could learn to give up that illusion of control, life will be so much simpler, so much easier. That doesn't mean you don't care. Doesn't mean you're not concerned. It just means you give the control to God. Surrender. 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 Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. I'm just going to ask a few questions. Number one, is everything okay between you and God? Are you living a life knowing that if that rapture trumpet sounds or something should happen, you're taken out of here? That you're ready to meet him. If you're not sure, nobody looking around, every eye closed, would you just put up your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me because I'm not sure. Secondly, would somebody here be bold and say, I do have a problem surrendering. And I do have a problem because I like to be in control. And I know that makes me miserable. And I need to give that to God. But nobody's looking around, every eye closed. You put their hand up and say, that's me. That's me. Maybe right now, you would just say, you know what? That's such a beauty to behold what's coming. And I just want to make sure, me and God want to make sure, because I don't want to mess out on such a sight. And I just want to love Him more than I've ever loved Him. And I just want to be ready more than I've ever been ready. And I want to live with that expectation. When nobody's looking around, would you just put their hand up? That's me. I want to live expecting, expecting, expecting. Hands went up all over the place. Here's what we're going to do. We're all going to pray together. Ready? Let's pray together. Father, I need You to help me give up my illusion of control. Help me to surrender myself completely to You. Help me to keep the switch in Your hands, not mine. And I thank You for it. Help me to be all I can be for You in this last few days that we have. In the name of Jesus, we thank You for it all. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. Okay. Coming up Sunday or Tuesday night, I'm gonna just do one more thing about the Bible, and then we're gonna think. I'm not 100% sure, but I think because we ask. I'm asking. This is just what I'm asking, and people are telling me what they want to hear, or what they want to hear. They're telling me what they would like the subjects, and I think the next subject is gonna be triggers, not the horse trigger. Roy Rogers and trigger. No, we're talking about triggers. Things that can make you flip out, or things that can make you have a bad day. Things that actually can make you whatever. You'll find out when we're talking about triggers. So triggers is a good thing. Everybody I've ever talked to about triggers always said, you know what? I'm glad that we talked about triggers, because it really helps. It really, really helps. And so, hey, God's got this. Amen. So now, Brother Wayne, it's so good to have you back, bro. You are the man. He's had that battle with those highs. I'm going to tell you what. Only the grace of God, that's grace. That's grace standing right there. There's grace in a human suit, right? but it's here. I want you to say the Lord's, say blessing over us before we leave.